Jesus said, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You've already been made clean or cleansed by the word that I've spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. It's very significant, I think, that today, as we look ahead to our planning, look ahead to the vision for the local church and its outreach to the community, that this reading was just there. I think it was there before the dates were selected for today. So, you know, take it as a word for us for the day. We can think of a whole lot of fancy things to sort of do or invent, but the main thing, the prime thing, would be for us to remain, is one word, or abide. That means to continue in that connected fellowship, deep fellowship with the Lord. And sometimes we wander off, as we know churches throughout history have wandered off, so that, you know, in the 1500s you need an entire reformation right across Europe because the church has wandered off from where it should have been in the apostles' teaching. They've wandered off into other inventions and ideas and things that seemed to be connected somehow with the Bible and priests and church, but just wasn't fueled with the living action of God's Spirit. And so there was a great deep need for a reformation, a renewal and a restoration of the church's life. And of course we know the 1500s, the Reformation was a huge bun fight, you know, in the church. While that was sorted out, Luther and Calvin and the Reformers, and ultimately, I think even today, if you ask the Catholic Church, I met with an Anglican and a Lutheran and a Roman Catholic priest for coffee down at Just Julie's the other day, and in our chit chat we were talking about things, and the Reformation came up. And I think the Roman Catholic Church are grateful for the Reformation, that they responded with a sort of counter-reformation, and there was a renewal that took place in the church because of it. People shed their blood, of course, and fought for centuries over the matters, but today perhaps we're closer than we've been for a long time. So there it is, a little bit of what can happen in the life of the church. And of course, when Jesus arrives on the scene in Israel's history, the background to this is Psalm 80, which I've mentioned earlier, where God says he's taken Israel as a vine out of Egypt and planted them, and they were to bear fruit. And Isaiah chapter 5 said that they were really become like a wrecked vineyard, just with few wild grapes growing, but no one was tending to the vineyard. The wall was broken down, the wild boar was in there, the prickles had overgrown it, and so on. So this picture is the picture of renewal. The true vine has arrived. Jesus is the true vine. He's not just come from nowhere. He's come from heaven, but he's part of that great history, is joined to, he's part of the original stock which God has wanted to bring this fruitfulness to the human race through one nation, Israel. And here is Jesus, the true vine. And so he says that, and if you think of it, the word true is over and against the false vine. And there was a lot of false teaching that had missed the mark, and Christ comes into the world and fills anew the people of God with the Spirit, And he himself says that he is the true vine, and those who are joined and connected with and part of that fellowship with him are the branches, and then their life branches out across the globe. That's what's taken place. But the ongoing need is to abide, to continue to remain in, abide in Christ, abide in God, live in the Father, Son and Spirit. Don't go for heresy. Don't let a false teaching intrude. It will kill your life off. Don't let just fellowship without a sort of a word become the main thing that you come to be part of. To listen to God's word is an essential part of the Christian church's life. At one stage, Jesus, when he was sort of teaching and using seeds and wheat and so on as an example in Luke chapter 8 and verse 18, he pointed out the importance of listening and continuing to listen. He said to them, then pay attention to how you listen. For to those who have, more will be given. And from those who do not have, even what they seem to have will be taken away. And he'd just been teaching and saying, look, you need to keep hearing, otherwise the cares of and the riches and the pleasures of life will come in and choke the word, and the word won't go forth. And those who hear the word won't be holding fast in an honest and good heart, but will be, that word of fruitfulness will be destroyed. So Jesus is just stressing the importance, the centrality of hearing God's word and continue to live by the word that's spoken to us. During the week, last Sunday, as you know, I was grateful for Alan preaching an opportunity for me to go to my old hometown in Maiponga. And it's always been a little town of about 300, but now they've added to it some local housing area, and they've gone up like they do like mushrooms. These houses have grown and it's burgeoned as a little bit of a commuter little town. And I went back there, and it was a wonderful. We had a lovely dawn service at 6 o'clock. About 350 people gathered to listen, and one of the locals, his father had been in Changi prison, and he was able to share that one outstanding man helped them in Changi prison in World War II, and it turned out that everyone loved him, but he was a Christian man who was looking after the prisoners of war. A Korean man among the Japanese, and he'd shared that story, and his father remembered that it was a Christian man who had loved the Australians and they him. The other interesting part was that for the first time I went back to my local township of Maiponga, where I candidated to go into the ministry, and on the corner, the little church there has got no signs down out in front of it anymore, because no one's going to meet in those buildings now. The church has pulled up stumps, it's the signs pulled down, and there's no congregation there. Over the years they sent one missionary went out to Papua New Guinea from there, and they have made a valuable contribution over the years. I looked at the hall that's up for sale, which my grandfather was involved in building, and the father of the other man who was sent out in missionary service. And here it is, it's up for sale, and what's left is a bit of a cemetery there. And I spoke to one of my uncles, and he said, you know, it's caused me much pain to watch this happen. I can remember myself driving around the corner by the little church, and I was about 16, And to my surprise, one of my mates was at church still, and I didn't know he kept going to church. I stopped at, you know, more like about 15 and a half, but he was still there at 16, to my unbelief. But as I looked, I wondered whether how much longer that little church would last. How, you know, I could sort of see that, yeah, we used to be, you know, 130 on the stage or whatever for Sunday school anniversary. So there it is. But to my amazement, then about 5 years later, I was sitting in that little church myself, called by God out of the rough, really, out of the rough of the golf course to be in the church instead on Sunday morning. And, you know, God had done something against the grain to my way of seeing things, and I'm very grateful for that and thankful that he woke me up, he restored faith in my life and gave me a new way to see and understand the world. But, you know, my question is what happens from here, what goes on. And I know I'm speaking to others among us here. There's little towns around, and our congregation here this morning is formed from not probably even primarily Clare people, but people from Blythe and Brinkworth and Manura and if I miss you out, you'll pipe up. So anyway, tell us where. All the little towns, Kulunga. During the week, as I spoke to my Anglican friend David, he said that they, you know, are in strife. There's so many small churches, and they did the opposite to us. We sort of closed some little ones down so we'd have enough to have a kind of regional centre, and they did perhaps the opposite and tried to keep all the little ones going, and it's been difficult to do that. So here we are. The Christian Church is the only group in all the world who knows the plan of God for creation through Jesus Christ, death and resurrection. The only ones who can tell that out, and God has equipped us for that. He renews us for that, and he prunes us also for it and shapes us up according to John 15. In order that we might bear fruit. So the Lord is more interested in fruitfulness than we are. And he's interested in that fruit, that his name be glorified and people see how great, as we've already sung, how great is our God. Wow, look at what God has done from beginning to the great goal of history for creation. And look what the church has been involved in, magnificent proclamation of the truth of who God is and so on. The other thing, interestingly, last week, as one of my friends said, you know, as I was going to go down and help lead the Anzac services, that, oh, we're all heathens a bit down here. And that was, you know, jokingly said. But it was interestingly that towards the end of the service, some of the words used were, may God bless you, and there was a feeling of God blessing us. I'm just saying that to give an illustration that the work of God is never over. God's plan is never finished, and we're never out of it in the sense that God is calling us to our fruitful ministry. He's calling us to abide, to remain. Of all the things we should do, is remain in Christ, to say and teach to our youth, just like your door in your house is always open when your son and daughter wants to come home, the door of the church is always open. This is your home. Remain in contact with the church. Have some sympathy, have some love for, have some interest and know that the church is your church. This is the church of Jesus Christ. And as a little baby, with little Meshach here, from a little young person growing up, God wants you not just to keep the organisation going, not just to uphold an institution, but to be in life knowing Jesus Christ's love, knowing his comfort, and knowing his strength surging through your life. I am the vine, said Jesus, and you're the branches. And we are, so he is in us, and we are in him. And apart from him, we can do nothing. The human race in autonomy is the thing we have when we say, well, I'm going to do life without God. And we set out in autonomy to do it on our own. It ends up with, oh, well, some say, you know, I've done okay and I'm a self-made person. But by and large, it ends up with nothing to say about the future except pretty much death and doom. It has only some things to lament. You can hope in progress, but when progress doesn't take place, things plateau. Then where do you go and what is your life about? Where is it going? Tell me. Help me understand this life I'm living. And the Christian church's role is to understand this life that we are living through one wisdom and one way only, and that is through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and through his friendship to us as the risen Lord, through his forming a community that love one another and know what the heck it's all about. I was interested to hear that to one of our dear friends who's lost his daughter recently in the community, was in good spirit, is in good heart, because he knew that his daughter was in good hands. She'd left this life early, she'd died, and yet he was holding fast to the one hope, the true hope, which is Christ's resurrection and the glory that that yet holds for us all. That is, and it's the one comfort that we have amidst, well, all of the discomforts and sadness. And we, our community here has endured, in the first service, I was reminded again in our prayers of intercession of how much sadness and so on there is surrounding our lives just here at the moment, how much difficulty. And so Jesus Christ is it's the most wonderful thing ever to be in him and to have his word coming to us to cleanse away, clip away, snip off that which is not true, and to let flourish and be fruitful and grow that which is true. And that is what our lives are about. Whatever your authentic contribution is that God has created you for, you are involved in that right now. And you, Christ says to you, remain in me. Just, you know, just a closer walk with me, or abide with me. And it's just that service last Sunday, of the 350 people, no one there had the words to the tune. They'd forgotten to print them up, I think. But anyway, we decided to sing to remember Anzac Day and so on, Abide With Me. So I did a solo with some others helping out there from their memory. We just had the first verse. But what a wonderful first verse. Abide with me, fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens. Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, Lord, abide with me. Those young Anzacs at 18 going up the hill were in a state where the help they needed, they were the helpless. And they, when all other helpers failed and their comforts fled, they had, and many of them did have, Christ in their bones, Christ in their flesh, Christ in their head, and Christ in their hearts. And they wrote letters home before they charged to serve their country, saying, darling, to a particular young woman, one but major wrote, if I don't see you after this, I'll be of those who have good courage, for God and country. Friends, you and I need that same closeness. We need that same assurance that we will remain by the grace of God, by his help. Christians fall off all the way along the way. We wander into error and sin. We go into disbelief, modern ideas or philosophy, and we think we doubt our faith. We're not sure whether it's really correct. But Jesus is saying, no, this is trustworthy and true. And I am the true vine. I'm trustworthy and true. And when he speaks to us and gives his spirit to us, it's for eternal life. It's that we will never be separated from the love of God in Christ. That is our hope. That is our abiding in Christ, that we should remain. The word abide, translated by the NIV, is right. It means remain, continue, stay in the things of Christ. That's why when we see false teaching and things, we battle and fight and say, no, that's not it. This is the truth of God in Christ. This is who Jesus is. This is the true Jesus. And that will sustain and renew as we continue to worship this one true God. It's the very important thing. And Jesus promises, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. So he links it to the great love of God we've sung this morning, my first love. Do you still remember that God loves you? Do you know does it feel something still? Yeah, it's good, isn't it? It feels good that he loves you. He loves me. And Jesus says, you know, you abide in my love. As the Father loved me, so I've loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love. That you do. You go on doing what the Lord Jesus is saying to you to do. Just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. In his love for the world, he went to the cross. In his love for the Father, he so loved the Father, he said, yes, Father, I will go and I will bear their sins and I will take their sins away. Yes, I will. I will guarantee the future of your world and your creation and of humanity. Yes, I love you, Father. I will do this, though it is horrendous. Though it is so difficult, though it takes everything I've got, I will. He said, I will. And he did. And when he was raised on the third day, he'd laid down his life willingly in order to take it up again. That is our comfort, friends. If you lay down your life, I sometimes think of my mum. She was always cooking, cleaning, sweeping, caring for, and putting up with her three sons and daughter, and helped in, but she served and she spent her life and laid down her life. But she did that in order that in Christ she might take it up again. She always lived as hope. Can you see how important it is to live with hope? So you continue your life. That is that laying down is in order that, you know, you've laid everything on the truth of Christ's resurrection. And you're holy. That's what it means to abide. You remain in Christ, and people have done that, you know, over and against opposition, threats, fears for their life and everything else. People misunderstanding them, people threatening them. And yet the church, as a book recently read by Os Guinness, is called God's People, an impossible people. It's impossible for them not to be, you know, who they are in Christ. God has created them to bring this hope to the world over and against everything else. That is why this afternoon, as we gather together, it is that we abide, we live in Christ and seek fresh new ways, fresh words, fresh deeds, fresh opportunities to share the love that is surging through our veins, our hope. I'm the vine, you are the branches, said Jesus. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit. You do. Because apart from me, you can do nothing. That is, your whole life is knit together in Christ and it's going somewhere because of him. I'm going to look at my notes in case there was something else I wrote that I should have said. Pretty much covered it, I think. The last thing, I suppose, is as Clare people, Clare and the region here, we will be fruitful just simply by attending to, listening to God's word and living and responding out of that, being filled with his spirit. And he will, without doubt, hear our prayers. I've been really thrilled so far that I think Hayden's prayer of more kids was answered in a few weeks ago when we had more kids than we knew where to bed them down for the night at the sleepover. God is showing us in physical, practical ways that his plan is good. It is to bless the human race. But we do need a movement of restoration, do we not, across the church and across our land? We do need seriously, and that begins, as far as I can see, this message is saying, as Mark Sanders came and spoke to us, he told us about the world and the nations of the world and how the gospel had gone over our history. He mentioned the church and the state of the church, but his last talk was on what? Our hearts. Our hearts together with the Lord, and I think this is the key, that our hearts be renewed, that we abide in him, that we listen more carefully, that we walk that closely. And I'm not sort of throwing it over to you to say you've got to do this now, but I'm just throwing it over to you to say you've got to do this now. If you can hear what I mean. You are in Christ. You to abide in him, that is his commandments. I'm just saying what Jesus said to do. Just be a Christian and be a thoughtful Christian, be an enthusiastic Christian, remain in the fellowship, hang with the Lord and hang with this young guy and pray that his life will be filled with life, that not only Clare will be known for its delicious, you know, Riesling and Cabernet, but it will be known for the fruit of the vine that God has planted right here in the Christian church. How about that? I'll just close with one last remark. Someone said to me that this fellowship, this congregation, is very important and has been very important in the plan of God. Remain, continue, and pray and seek the Lord and be part of that, and he will hold fast to his word and you will see much fruit continue to flow. May God add his blessing to the word, and may the drums strike up in a few moments as we worship the Lord, assured of the future he's set before us. There we go. Shall we pray? It's delicious. It's delightful. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you that you are the God who renews the church. Lord, you don't leave us on our own. You send us your word. You send us your spirit. You send us new members. You awaken in us, older ones, the truth again. You love us before we first loved you. You continue to love us when we forget and wander away.
Dear Lord Jesus, we pray that you would draw us back to the Father's love, back to the Spirit's power, and back to the essential truth of your word, that we might hold fast, we might stand firm, we might abide in you, and yes, we might praise you with all we have and are. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.